I think all of us can simply look about of what's going on in our society and our culture today that we would all know that we're living in some difficult times, and I am primarily referring to some economic things that are going on, higher gas prices. It keeps going up and down. And yes, I know last year at this time it was probably higher than it is now, but it keeps going up, it keeps going back down, and we know that there's a problem. We know that there's a situation with many people have lost jobs. Even though there's the promise of new jobs, it seems like more and more, almost every week, whenever we hear things referring to jobs, it's less jobs, not more jobs. We understand that. We also understand that with business people, the amount of sales, economic sales that they're doing, it's less, it's going down. And we know these things. And so you know what I'm talking about here. So what do we do about this? What do we do when we find ourselves in difficult times? The Apostle Paul offers what I consider to be some great spiritual advice. Twice in one chapter, Paul makes the statement, "We do not lose heart." In the King James Version, it uses the term, "Faint not." And I think in the NIV and the NASB translation, I think it's better from the point of view of using not lose heart. The phrase lose heart means to be discouraged, to not faint. It means to not be discouraged. And I do believe that we probably would all agree that if anyone ought to be discouraged or to lose heart in a lot of given situations would certainly have been the Apostle Paul. I mean, we can look at his life and we can see some things about him and step away and go, how did this man do this? How did he continue to do this? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and let's consider some of the things that Paul suffered and how he comes to the conclusion, yet we're not going to lose heart. We're not going to faint in all of this. In 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 23, he kind of jumps in the middle, and I jump in kind of the middle of it here, but that's okay. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often." In deaths often. "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one." Do you understand? I mean, you think about this. More people died from that beating once than survived. "Three times I was beaten with rods." Not just with a whip, but with rods. That's talking about metal pieces of iron, you know, iron, metal, rods is what it's referring to. "Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides the other things which comes upon me daily." In other words, just the other problems that come upon me just because I'm alive, just because I'm living life, which is our part. You know, this is where we are. I mean, I'm not going to ask. I mean, I could ask for a show of hands, and I know what happened. I wouldn't receive any hands to go up because none of us have been beaten. None of us have been whipped. None of us had all of these things that the Apostle Paul has talked about. And he says, "And besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. Let's notice something else that he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. In verse 8 he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet," and I like that word, "yet not distressed." We're troubled on every side, but we're not bothered by it yet. "We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Talk about an attitude of, this is not about me. His focus was on the church. His focus was on Jesus Christ. His focus was on God. It wasn't on himself. In other words, what Paul is saying is, we do not lose heart. But brethren, all of us know it is not uncommon for some of us from time to time to lose heart or to become discouraged. And I'm not going to, but here I know I could ask for a show of hands and probably all the hands would go up. When we think about it, it could be stated that this is both strange and sad at the same time. I state it is strange because we do not experience near the hardships the Apostle Paul did. And I say it is sad because, as Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 9, the second part of the verse, it says, "In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So what I'd like to do today is to examine some various aspects of this topic of not losing heart. What are some of the signs of a Christian, of a true believer, losing heart? What are some of the reasons why we sometimes might lose heart? And I'd also like for us to see some of Paul's secrets to his being able to not lose heart. How do we do what he did? How do we do what he did and not give up and not give in? How do we do that? Is it possible? And the answer is, of course it is. Paul did. The example is there for us to learn so that of course we can. Because see, here's an important thing for us to realize from the very beginning. The Apostle Paul had the same Holy Spirit that we do. I mean, that's obvious how he was able to do it. Jesus Christ in him. Jesus Christ is in us. He did it, therefore we know we can do it. So let's take a look at some of the signs of losing heart. Well, one of the signs of losing heart is having a lack of persistence in our prayer life. This is a situation where it is not visible to others. Because see, most people don't see us or even know when we are praying. Now, on the Sabbath, you know, we have people to come up and opening prayer, and we pray for the sick, and then we have a prayer at the end of the services, and we do those things. And we may be together, and we may eat a meal together, and we ask God to bless the food or thanking him for the food and all those things. And so publicly, there's time to time whenever we see one another in prayer. Most of the time, most people don't know when we pray or if we pray, so others do not see it. It's interesting that Jesus equated fervent prayer with not losing heart. In Luke chapter 18, Luke 18 in verse 1, "Now he," Jesus, "was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart." So probably, I conclude that one of the signs of losing heart is being, maybe we would call it being haphazard in our prayer life. Well, I didn't have time to do it today. Well, in fact, I didn't have time to do it yesterday. In fact, I didn't have time to do it the day before. But I did pray a few minutes the day before that. And if it all goes well, I'm going to do some tomorrow. Now, do we ever do any things like that? Probably from time to time. Some of us probably have said things very similar to that. Where in contrast to a strong Christian, a strong believer's prayer life, it is characterized by fervent prayer. Let me give you at this point some things that we are told to do about prayers. I'm going to make some statements, and I'm going to give you some verses, and you can write those down if you're taking notes, and you can read those later. I'm going to tell you just what it's there. The first one is, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. We could read all of this, but you know them, and so I'm just putting them down as a list, and you can see these. The next one is, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. Colossians 2 and verse 4. Colossians 2 and verse 4. Another one is, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. And another one I have is, I want the men in every place to pray. That's in Titus 2 and verse 8. Another sign of losing heart is growing weary in doing well. This is visible to others. This could be things that others see about us. We do them, but we grow weary in doing them anyway. Paul equated this with losing heart. Let's go to Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not grow weary. An example of growing weary and doing good might be neglecting opportunities that we might have to help others who are in need. There's the need, but we do it, but then we tire out and we grow weary and we may even get discouraged from helping and helping and helping. And that's a good possibility that it could happen. We are in Galatians 6. Let's read verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. As we have opportunity, as it's there, do it. But we just saw that he said in verse 9, but let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not grow weary. So as the opportunity is there, take advantage of the opportunity and let's do it. The point being is don't get weary in doing well and doing good things for other people. An example might be visiting the sick, the afflicted. Visiting could be going to see them, could be calling them on the phone, could be sending them a card, could be praying for them. It could be a lot of different things. And we do the prayer requests so that we can all be aware of what's going on. And I've said many times, if you know of others that I don't announce, please let us know beforehand, and we'll pray for people. Another example of growing weary and doing good might be to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I'm just tired of going to church. I'm so tired. I've worked so hard all week. And we probably, you know, and many do work really hard, and I understand all of that. I'm not saying that there's not a time not to stay home from church services. That's not what I'm implying at all. But I'm talking about it is we could still grow weary in doing good, and as a result, wind up forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10. Verse 23, Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Of course, then we could interject here. We're not going to, but we could interject. Who is it that has promised, and what is it that he has promised? That's a whole message in itself. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. Assembling ourselves together is in itself designed to encourage others, and also it is by design to encourage ourselves as well. It is to be an encouragement to others whenever we come together, assembling ourselves together on the Sabbath. It is to be an act of encouragement to all of us that we're encouraged by this. And it says, and even the more so as you see the day approaching. And the day approaching is referring to this, the return of Jesus Christ. Because there's prophecies about all the things that are going to happen between now and the time that Jesus returns. And both of these examples that I've stated, I believe, are clear symptoms that one is losing heart. I could not imagine the Apostle Paul not assembling himself together with somebody. I can't even imagine that he would never do that. He would be there with bandages on. He would be there, you know, black and blue, you know, maybe even, you know, coming in, dragging one leg and bleeding. You know, I think he would be there to assemble himself together with people. But brethren, when there is peace to be found in prayer, and there is joy to be found in doing well, what would cause some people to be discouraged and lose heart? Let me restate this. Let me ask this question again. There is peace that is found in having a fervent prayer life. That's evident through the Scriptures. And there also is joy that is found in coming together and doing well for others. What would cause some to still lose heart and be discouraged? What are some reasons, in other words, why some might lose heart? One of the reasons could be tribulations. The Apostle Paul alludes to this in his remarks to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. He was concerned that they not lose heart over a particular kind of tribulation that was going on. Let's go there and see this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. Ephesians 3:13. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. So he was concerned that there might be people who were losing heart because of all the horrible things that were going on to him. All these horrible things that were happening to him. The Ephesians were hearing of this. They were learning of this. And he was concerned that they don't give up. They don't get discouraged because of what's happening to him. I mean, after all, some could lose heart over his troubles. That's what he's concerned about. How much more over their own troubles, their own tribulations. Jesus also warned in his parable of the sower that some might be afflicted in this same way. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13 and verse 20, Matthew 13 and verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. 21, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Tribulations could happen. Persecutions could happen. And Paul was saying, I'm concerned that some of you might lose heart, might get discouraged over this. Jesus is basically saying the same thing. What we need to understand in this context here, I'm meaning of these verses that we're looking at in the pages of the Bible, tribulations can take on many different forms. They can come in many different packages. They can look a lot of different ways. Both Jesus and the Apostle Paul referred to some of the kinds of tribulations that we might have because we are Christians. Not just because of living life. Because those are bad enough. Because the fact is, if any of you have lost your job, it's probably today not necessarily because you're a Christian. You may not be able to get a job today because they're wanting you to work on the Sabbath, and you say, I can't work on the Sabbath. You may not get the job. But I'm talking about more people are losing jobs today just because the economy is going down. And there are people who have lost jobs, have been there for years and years and years, and they never were asked to work on the Sabbath, but they're losing their jobs. The gas prices are going up whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Sales are down in companies because people aren't buying, not because they're Christian or because they're Christian. And so just because of what is going on, we are a lot of times affected by different things. But I want to talk about some things that we may be affected in a negative way, persecutions and or tribulations, because we are Christian. I want us to look at a couple of those things. One characteristic or one category could be we could receive ridicule, ostracism, even physical abuse by those of the world because we are Christian. And another reason could be sometimes even from those we who may least expect it. Do you know what I'm going to say next? Brothers and sisters within the church who sin against us. Many Christians have lost heart being discouraged in these ways. There are also tribulations that are just common to mankind. For example, sickness and death. It doesn't happen just to Christians. It's appointed unto man to die. And so sickness happens to all people. Death happens to all people. Frustrations at job or at home also can take their toll on us just simply because we're human. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Another reason some might lose heart is because of lawlessness. In fact, Jesus said this would happen. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 12. Jesus speaking and he says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Yes, that's going to happen to those in the world, but it's also in the context he is talking about things that are going to happen toward the end of the world, what it's going to be like before his return, and this also could happen within the body of Jesus Christ, within the true believers. Because lawlessness, and I mean lawlessness in this context, meaning a lack of respect for God, and that lack of respect toward God in both attitudes toward God's word and obedience in doing God's will. And without a doubt, lawlessness is infectious. And the reason is because when many people demonstrate a lack of respect for God's will, sometimes it discourages the faithful and even encourages them toward unfaithfulness or going away from God. I mean, I could tell you stories of people who are no longer assembling a part of the body of Jesus Christ over the years because things just got too hard. I can't take this any longer. And have totally given up on the church. And I know if you talk to probably any minister who's been around for any period of time, they could tell you that those things have happened. I mean, I can tell you, those things have happened. You may know people to whom that has happened. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. You could think, well, that's out of context. It is not out of context. We could be around people, as I said, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts and can cause us to go in the wrong direction. Hanging around people that are in that ditch or traveling toward that ditch could cause us to go along and get in the ditch. That's what it's saying. Stay away from people who are negative like that. Whether they be in the world or whether they be in the body of Christ. I would suspect that for most people in the Church of God today that would lose heart are because of lawlessness rather than tribulations. Because I don't think that we have the kind of tribulations going on that are affecting us because we're Christian. The things that are happening to us that are negative are more indicative of being part of the human race, not because of being Christian. Now, I'm not saying that there's not anybody who's I'm not saying there's no one in the Church of God being persecuted because they're Christian. I'm not saying that. That could be. I'm talking about as a whole, as of most people within the body of Jesus Christ. Most that would be losing heart today as part of the body of Jesus Christ would be because of lawlessness rather than tribulations, because most severe forms of lawlessness are practiced and encouraged in our culture. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the TV. Now, I'm not advocating don't turn on your TV. That's not what I'm saying, but I am saying that you will see lawlessness. It infiltrates, it comes into our homes, it comes into our minds probably several times every hour that you would have on a TV. And there are other places where I'm not picking on television. Yet having said these things, Paul the Apostle stands before us an example of one who despite the worst kinds of tribulations and living probably within one of the most lawless cultures could say, we do not lose heart. Did Paul have a secret? Did he know something that we don't know? Did he know something that he may have known and we don't know and we can't learn it? What was Paul's secret to not losing heart? Well, several things. I want to look at two of those secrets that he understood that he used not to lose heart. One secret was his realizing the power of Jesus Christ when we are weak. He's the one who wrote Galatians 2:20. I die, yet I live daily, but it's not really me. I'm heavily paraphrasing because I'm trying to make it my words. But it's Jesus Christ living in me. He understood that. Why would that be true that he realized the power of Jesus Christ when we are weak? We are human, and compared to Jesus Christ, we are weak. And we have the availability of Jesus Christ living his life in us. He understood that. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is referring to this when he makes the statement in verse 16. He said it in verse 1, let's not lose heart. Now down in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. We may be decaying physically. By design, this physical body was designed to wear down, and we are decaying. We are wearing away. We are wasting away. But from a spiritual point of view, Jesus Christ living in us, we're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Because as we become more and more like God the Father and Jesus Christ, we are becoming, our inward man is being renewed day by day. As we read earlier, it shows that Paul suffered greatly for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. However, Paul saw it as an opportunity for God's power through Jesus Christ to be shown. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in this physical human body. We have this in these in human or earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. It will be of God and it will not be of ourselves. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest, may be made known in our body. Verse 11, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be made known, may be made manifest in our mortal body. In other words, how we live our life. Others should be able to see it because Jesus Christ is living in us. Brethren, please understand, this was a lesson that Jesus taught Paul when he struggled with this, the thorn in the flesh. You remember that situation? We're not going to go there. You can write it down. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 7 through 10. This is where Paul says, three different times I came to him and asked him to deliver me out of this thorn in the flesh. And what was Jesus' answer to him? My grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. And Paul accepted that and went, okay. In this flesh, this is as good as it's going to get. Now get up and go do. Brother, when we are weak, please understand, this is an opportunity that we have as Christians for us to depend upon our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ for strength to be able to go on and to accomplish and to do and to be what it is He wants us to. We can lose heart, or we can let Jesus Christ live in us and we can accomplish what He wants. Now that may be an overstatement, but I don't think so. When this is really understood, when we really are getting this and we really are trying to live this as a way of life, we could see some infirmities, persecutions, tribulations as occasions to rejoice instead of despair or lose heart or be discouraged. That's why James says, count it all joy when you fall into different trials and tribulations or temptations. Count it all joy. Why? Because God's going to be glorified through this. If we do it the way He wants, He's going to be glorified. We can lose heart, woe is me, or we can give it to God, and God is glorified. And we have the choice. We have that choice. And the sooner I think that we learn this lesson, the sooner we're going to learn, and it helps us to not lose heart. Another lesson is to look at things not seen. This is what Paul says rewarded him or renewed him inwardly day by day, enabling him not to lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. You may go back and read all of those things that Paul says that happened to him. Beaten with rods, shipwrecked. I mean, you know, stoned. We know this. We know the drill. We know what he went through. We know all these horrible things. What did he just refer to it as? Light afflictions. And it has nothing to compare to what is going to happen. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, five beatings, beaten with rods, losing job, whatever else it is, but look at those things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What an attitude. What an insight that he has. And he shares it for us and it's right here in the Bible. And we're to learn the lessons from this. This phrase, not seen. Things not seen. It refers to the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what he's referring to. The far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What he is doing, what God is doing through Jesus Christ in our lives. What is he doing? He's going to bring us into eternal glory. That's what he's doing. I mean, that's a simple way of stating it, but that's what he's doing. Those are the things not seen. And he says, as a result of that, all of that makes our afflictions, all of our persecutions, all of our tribulations, all of the bad things that may be happening as light and momentary and temporary. It's like a bad cold, you know, is going to go away in a few days. This glory is further discussed in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. For we know, now pay attention to whatever he says, for we know, and a question I always ask when I start reading a verse that says, for we know, I have to stop and think, okay, do I really know this? Do I really accept this? Do I really believe this? Without even reading what's next, that's a question that I ask myself. For we know, do I really know this? Do I accept it? For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, in other words, if they beat us to death, if we die, if it's destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. I mean, let's pause and give ourselves a choice. Let's see. If you could be living in this physical life right now or instantaneously be living in the kingdom of God, which one do we choose? Well, let me rephrase it. Which one should we choose? If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, this physical body, groan, being burdened. Not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life, eternal life. Verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. What he's saying is, if we have the Spirit of God, we've been guaranteed this is what's going to happen. And in the context of the sermon, there's this little phrase, if we what? Don't lose heart and give up. Paul is describing here for us the eternal hope of glory. He is looking at things unseen that Paul says renewed him day by day by day. Daily he was renewed by this. I mean, to me, this is a place that we ask. This is an obvious question. Again, I'm not asking for comment, but let's think about this in our mind. Do we thank God for this daily? Do we even think about this daily? That it's not only going to happen, but we are blessed now to know that it's going to happen. Paul says this renewed him day by day. Do we, as fellow believers, part of the body of Jesus Christ as Paul the Apostle was, do we let such a hope of glory renew us day by day? Or do we lose heart? Do we lose heart because we never take the time to dwell on these things? Let's go to Galatians and read with me what Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 6. Verse 7, Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's the context. Hopefully, we will not grow weary and lose heart in our service or in our devotion or in our love toward God. But should we ever find ourselves sometimes growing weary, what do? We go back to what Paul the Apostle was inspired by God to write, Jesus Christ having it recorded and kept for us down through the pages, and review what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapters 3 through 5, where we will find the secrets to not losing heart. That's what I would ask for every one of us. Yes, we're going to find ourselves from time to time losing heart. We're going to get discouraged because things happen, and I understand that. And I'm not even trying to make us feel bad in the sense of that we lose heart from time to time, we get discouraged from time to time because nothing has really happened to us like happened to Paul. And he says, we don't lose heart. Paul is a very special person. That's why he's held up as an example of someone who did it among all the odds. Most people way back would have turned. And Paul doesn't do it with all of these things happening to him. And so he is there. His life is there for an example for all of us. And so go back and renew ourselves day by day by looking at these and seeing the secrets. And let us not lose heart. the Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, God has blessed us. We are the children of God. We are his people today. He has given us all that we need to not give up, not get down to the degree that we get so discouraged that we walk away, that we lose heart. So God bless each one of us with that renewing of the Spirit of God in us day by day. God bless you and God keep you.